If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message, The God of My Valleys. And I'm going to ask everyone that is able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. The first verse is the theme for this series, The Goodness of God. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, For the Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind. And His faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. We've been looking at Psalm 23 now for the past 7 weeks. And I'm going to ask you to read with me verses 1 through 4 in unison. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Many times it appears that God is with us on the mountain. But 1 Kings 20 and 28 says God's with us in the valley. The man of God came up and told the king of Israel, this is what the Lord says, because the Arameans think that the Lord is a God of the hills and not a God of the valleys. I will deliver this vast army into your hands, and you will know that I am the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, I recognize that every person in this room is in one of three places. They're either in the valley, they just came out of the valley, or God, they're fixing to go into a valley. And so may the Holy Spirit today take the Word of God and speak to our hearts. Encourage us, God. Inspire us, O God, as only You can do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're in a series on the goodness of God. Why don't you look up here at me, because I want us to work on this for a minute, okay? God is good. All the time. All right, and we're going to do it again. This time you're going to do it like you mean it. Okay? All right? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Now, do you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, it's easy to believe that up on the mountaintop when things are going good. But do you believe that God is good when life is hard? In 2004, the Whisnets had a number one song on the gospel charts. The title of that song was, Even in the Valley. And the chorus goes, Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. Another very popular song written by Linda Randell and recorded by Bill and Gloria Gaither. It says, for the God on the mountain is also the God in the valley. Well, our passage today is about the valley. David, who is a shepherd, often would take his sheep through a certain part there in Judea that was named the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Next year when we go to the Holy Land, we are actually pass through this very place that you and I are reading today. It's a real place, okay? And the valley is so steep that except for a couple of hours during the day, there is a shadow cast all day long because the walls of the valley are so steep. Now, valleys are real places, but they're also a picture or a metaphor of the difficulties of life. All of us have difficulties in life. In the passage that we read last in 1 Kings, Ahab, the king of Israel, had got into a battle with the king of Syria and had defeated him. Well, Syria wants to attack again, and they've come up with this idea. Hey, we got whipped last time because Israel's God is the God of the mountains. We'll fight them down in the valley, and we'll win because Yahweh is not the God of the valley. He's only the God of the mountains. And so the man of God comes to the king of Israel and says, I'm going to show the king of Syria that I am the God of the valleys also. And God wants to show you today that he is the God of your valleys. With that in mind, I want to teach you a couple of universal truths about valleys. Number one, valleys are a part of life. They're inevitable. Deuteronomy 11:11 says, rather, the promised land you will soon take over is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain. All right, the promised land. That's the land flowing with milk and honey, right? Well, guess what? It has valleys in it. It has mountains in it. And listen, the same is true in life. Life has mountains. Life has valleys. And let me tell you what I've recognized in life. There's a lot more valleys than there are mountains. Yeah, it's inevitable. It's a part of life. As a matter of fact, Peter wrote in chapter 4, verse 12, my dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful test you are suffering as though something unusual were happening to you. Let me tell you what happens to a lot of God's people. And that is, it comes to a point in their life, they turn their heart and life over to God, and then they think, now everything in my life is going to be blessed and happy and healthy and good, and I'm going to have no problems. And then all of a sudden, problems come. You find yourself in a valley. Hey, God, where are you? As if what was happening to you wasn't supposed to be happening. But notice here, it's not unusual. It's common. Can I tell you something? The view from the mountain is a better view than the valley. I like being on the mountaintop. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Teresa and I like to do is we like to, in the fall, go up to Soco Mountain and get over there and pull over on the side and look down and see Maggie Valley. And it's one of the most gorgeous, beautiful sights that you'll ever see. And it's beautiful up there on top of the mountain. But can I tell you, there wouldn't be a view if there wasn't a valley. Yeah. None of us like the valley. We like the mountaintop, but you can't have one without the other. Number two, valleys happen to everyone. Look at your neighbor and say, valleys happen to everyone. Including you. Oh, yeah. Notice here what God's Word says in Psalms 34:19. The good man does not escape all troubles. Amen? He has them too, but the Lord helps him in each and every one. You see, sometimes what will happen is you turn your life over to God, you start following God, and you have all these troubles and say, well, what's the use to serve God if you're going to have all these troubles? Listen, you're just going to have them anyway. You can either have God going with you, or you can be going by yourself. Which one would you rather have? But troubles come to everyone. One of my favorite authors and pastors is a guy by the name of Rick Warren. He is a fifth generation pastor. By that, his dad was a pastor, his grandfather was a pastor, his great-grandfather was a pastor, and his great-great-grandfather was a pastor. Okay? So he comes from a good family. He is the pastor of the fastest growing church in America. He is the most published Christian pastor in the world. But did you know in the last couple of years, his wife Kay has had to battle breast cancer? Did you know she is in one of the 1% of people that the treatment makes deathly sick? Did you know in the last year his oldest son, Matthew, committed suicide as he struggled with his mental illness? Folks, if stuff like that happens to people like Rick Warren, Dennis Bean shouldn't be happy. He shouldn't be surprised if there are valleys in my life, if there are difficulties in my life, if there are difficulties in your life. Valleys happen to everyone. You're not immune. And then number three, and I really hate this part about them, and that is valleys are unpredictable. Proverbs 27:1 says, don't brag about tomorrow since you do not know what the day will bring. You know what I have noticed about life? Everything can change in a moment. Everything can change with a phone call. Everything can change by a knock on your door. Tragedy can come. Disaster can come. Accidents can come. Wouldn't it be great if you and I could schedule valleys? All right, God, if I got to go through a valley, let me do it when I'm caught up on my sleep. Lord, if I'm going to have to go through a valley, let me go through it when I'm healthy and strong. God, if I'm going to have to go through this valley, let me not have any other problems going on in my life at this time. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, but you know what I've discovered about valleys? They're absolutely unpredictable. Your whole life can change in a moment. Well, that in mind, I want to show you four valleys in Scripture that I believe are common to everybody. I believe everybody at some point in time is going to have one of these four valleys. Now, there's more than this, but I'm just going to cover these four. Notice here, the first one is the Valley of Siddim. The Valley of Siddim. In Genesis 14:10, the valley was full of tar pits. And when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah tried to run away from the battle, they fell into the pits. Oh man, can you imagine how embarrassing that is? I mean, you're the king of a country. How many of you have read the book or you have seen the movie, Lord of the Rings? Okay? A highly popular series. Anyhow, there's an epic battle between five armies. Well, in the Valley of Siddim, there was a battle of nine armies. Four kings against five kings. And what happened was, is the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, they started to run, and they run to the Valley of Siddim, and it's full of tar pits, and they got stuck in the tar. Oh, man, don't you know that's embarrassing? You got your gold crown on, you got your royal robe on, and you're stuck in the black tar. Oh, how embarrassing. Not only that, but think about it. Why did I get stuck? I was running. I was a coward, and I got caught, stuck in the tar. You understand that the Valley of Siddim is the valley of failure. All of us at some time in our life are going to have a failure. It might be a moral failure. It might be a failure in our personal life. It may be a failure in our family. But at some point in time, all of us are going to have a failure. And the Valley of Siddim here, what happens is, notice here, three things. Number one, it is a place to slip. It's a place to slip up. It's a place to fall. It's a place to get stuck. With that in mind, I want to ask you, what are you stuck in right now? What is your Valley of Siddim? What are you stuck in? Are you stuck in a habit? Are you stuck in an addiction? Are you stuck in a relationship? Are you stuck in a dead-end job? Some of you right now are stuck in a tar pit. And it's embarrassing what's really going on. And you're hoping nobody's looking. Teresa, you remember the time we went to the evangelism conference in Greensboro? And we were in between times. And we went out there to the mall to get something to eat. and we're going down the steps, and there's a fella, and he was going down them steps just like this, you know, and he missed one. And I have never seen this but this one time in my life. He fell up faster than he fell down. I mean, yeah, he did. He was just a bebopping like that. His feet flew out of him. He fell down, jumped up, and looked around. He didn't get hurt, but he is embarrassed. I'm wondering who here today, and that's where you're at. You're just bebopping along in life. Boom, you slipped, you've fallen. You're in an embarrassing situation. You're stuck. And it seems like you can't get out of the mess you're in. Now, here's something I think is pretty deep and profound. How did they get stuck? They were running away from something. And I want to ask you, what are you running away from? Is there some failure in your past? Is there a part of your life, and instead of dealing with it, what you're doing is you're running as far as you can away. And what will happen is when you run away from the problem, you're going to run slap into the valley of Siddim, the tar pit. You're going to get stuck when you run instead of face the problem. Number two. The Valley of Eshcol. In Numbers 13:23, when they reached the Valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. Wow. Have you thought about that passage? I mean, that's a pretty big cluster of grapes when it takes two men with a pole to carry it. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a cluster of grapes that big. Have you? Well, where did they get it? Well, you see, they're part of the 12 spies that have gone over into the promised land, and now they're coming back to show what they found. I mean, it's just this one cluster weighs down a whole stick, and it takes two men to carry it. I don't know about you, but I'd be excited about going to a place like that, wouldn't you? Oh, man, I want to be in the promised land. I want to be in the land flowing with milk and honey. I want to be in the place that God has prepared. But, folks, you got to go through the Valley of Eshcol first. Notice here what happened in verse 27. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore. And it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But, there's always a but. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought, too. Dr. Bob, you talk about an inferiority complex. Woo, man, I feel like a grasshopper. Don't feel like they seem like a prince of the King of Kings. They went out there, and it is everything that God said it would be. They've got the evidence. But notice here, they look at and they see all of the things wrong. They see all of the difficulties. You see, the Valley of Eshcol is the Valley of Fear. The Valley of Fear. When they saw all of this, what happened? They were afraid. Let me ask you today, what are you afraid of? So many times, we're afraid of stuff that we have absolutely no control over. I'm going to tell you a story on my wife, okay? When we first got married, I drove everywhere, okay? She didn't want to drive. But as we've been married a while, she gets a little nervous at my driving. And so what she would do sometimes is she'd say, oh, I'll drive. And I say, what you want to drive for? Well, I feel like when I'm driving, I'm in control. I said, you're in control. She said, yeah, you rode down the road. You're looking over here and you're looking over there. And when I'm driving, I'm looking down the road. I'm in control. But you know, it's not really true, right? She has no control over that 120,000-pound tractor trailer coming down the road. It is separated by a 4-inch yellow line. She has no control over that tractor trailer at all. Yeah. How many times do we go through life and we're afraid? And we're afraid because we feel like, well, I'm not in control. Can I tell you, you're not in control of very much to start with. God is. But notice here is a valley of fear. And I want to ask the question, when you're in the valley of Eshcol, do you see an obstacle or do you see an opportunity? 10 of the spies said, oh man, there's nothing but giants and fortified cities. But there were two guys, Caleb and Joshua, and they said, listen, it's a promised land. It's just like what God said. God will give us victory. You see, one group, the majority, saw the obstacle. The other group saw the opportunity. You see, all of us go through valleys of life when we run into some difficulty, and we can either be afraid and shrink back, or we can trust God and we can go forward in victory. A third type of valley, it's common to all of us, is the valley of Elah. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 2. Saul countered by gathering the Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Verse 11, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. See what's happening here at the Valley of Elah? The Israelites lined up on this hillside. The Philistines and Goliath, they're lined up on this other side. And they're hurling insults at each other. Man, that sounds like a lot of married people I know. They choose up. I'm on this side, you're on that side, and we hurl insults at each other. The valley of Elah is the valley of conflict. Now, don't raise your hand. This is a question just to ask yourself. How many of you dislike conflict? If you're normal and you're healthy, you do not like conflict. All of us are going to go through the valley of conflict. We're all going to go through the valley of Elah. You see, we live in a broken world. We're broken people. We're all sinful. We all, in our very basic nature, are selfish. So guess what? That's a great recipe for conflict. But notice that this is also the valley of giants. It's just not one army against another army. The Philistines had a champion by the name of Goliath. He's over 9 feet tall. Dennis White, how tall are you? 6'5"? 6'5". You can hold out your arm like this and I can walk under it, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you understand that Goliath could probably stick his hand down here and Dennis White could walk under it. I mean, he is one big dude. And he's out there cursing God and cursing them and said, bring it on, boys. Send me your champion. And whoever wins, winner take all. Well, there's a little shepherd boy who wrote the 23rd Psalm, by the way. And he comes out there and he said, why don't somebody go out there and shut that big mouth up? And they're all afraid. Have you seen how big he is? You know what David said? He said, I'll go out there and I'll take him on. My God will be with me. God's been with me when I fought a bear. God was with me when I fought a lion. God will be with me when I fight Goliath. Everybody looked at Goliath and said, oh, he's so big. You know what David said? David said, he's so big I can't miss him. He's an easy target. And what happened was, is David went out there in the name of God, in the power of God, and they won a great victory over the giants in their life. I'm wondering what kind of conflict are you facing? What kind of giant are you facing in your life? Is it cancer? Is it bankruptcy? Is it divorce? Is it death? Be like David and say it's too big to miss. Number four, the fourth valley that I'm going to mention is the Valley of Baca. Baca is a Hebrew word that means weeping. In Psalms 84 and verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Baca is the valley of grief. It is the valley of barrenness. It is a very dry place. And by the way, everybody who would make a pilgrimage up to Jerusalem, to the Mount of God, to meet with God, they all had to go through this valley. Folks, this is the valley of tears. This is the valley of hurt. This is the valley of pain. This is the valley of brokenness in our lives. All of us pass through this from time to time. Don't make any difference who you are. How many of you are familiar with Stephen Chapman Curtis? All right? Yeah, if you listen to any kind of Christian music, you've heard him. I don't know if you've heard his testimony. He's written a book about it. But he's gone through the Valley of Baca. Let me tell you what happened. One day he's out on the porch. His three daughters are out there playing in the front yard. His 18-year-old son is coming down the road and pulls into the driveway. His 5-year-old daughter runs over there to meet her brother. Her brother doesn't see her and runs over and kills his 5-year-old sister. Stephen Chapman Curtis said, everything that I believed about God at that moment, everything that I believed about God was put on trial. And everything that I believed about the goodness of God became real to me in that moment. He said, that's the only way I could have got through it. He said, if not, I'd have been the most bitter, angry man in the world. That's why I asked you a while ago, is God good? Is God good in the valley? Is God good in the Valley of Baca? Yeah, when I'm weeping and grieving and broken and there's nothing but dryness and barrenness in my life, is God still good? Amen. Amen. God is still good. In Psalm 51, this same guy, King David, said, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He lost his joy. You see, in the Valley of Baca, you lose your joy because it's a place of weeping and a place of brokenness. William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, and by the way, Salvation Army was started in London, England. It wasn't started in America. And William Booth sent some people over here to America to evangelize. And one of them sent a telegram back and he said, listen, I've tried everything. Nothing works. I've tried everything. Nobody wants to hear the Word of God. He said, I've tried prayer. I've tried music. I've tried preaching. I've tried special events. Nothing works. William Booth sent back a 2-word telegram. try weeping. Try weeping. Well, sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to go through the valley of Baca. Well, when you're in one of these valleys, what do you need to remember? Three things. Number one, remember you're not alone. God is with you. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Did you notice something take place right there? Up until this time, David has been talking about God in the third person. He leadeth me. But notice now he's talking about him in the second person. You are with me. Notice he didn't say, he is with me, but he's talking directly to God. You are with me in the valley of the shadow of death. But did you notice there he said, even though I walk through? I want you to circle the word through. You know, I'm going to tell you what that means. Your valley is only temporary. You go through the valley. Now, when you go through the valley, sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's scary. And here's what I've noticed. Have you noticed this? That many times the shadow is larger than the real object. You get that? So, you know, let me tell you what happens. You're going through the valley, and you look at the shadow, and the shadow is actually bigger than the problem. You see, that's how the devil works. He makes it look bigger than it actually is. And can I tell you something? Here's some good news. The shadow can't hurt you. It can't. You've been riding down the road, and one of them big tractor trailers come up, you know, one of them 53-footers, and it come, and it had cast that big shadow, and that shadow run right over you. Didn't hurt a bit, did it? Is there a difference between a shadow running over you than a tractor trailer running over you? Oh, yeah. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? You are there with me. Folks, if you're a child of God, you never walk alone. God is always there. I grew up on a dead-end street. And there's another street adjacent to us. And we go down there and play with some of the other kids till it got dark. But in between that place and our place, there's a big old long stretch. And there was no houses, there's no lights. There's just a big old gully there. And you'd see all kinds of shadows. And you know, as a boy, it scared me to death. And I'd get there to the edge, and it looked like I'd see all kinds of stuff. And I'd get there on the edge, you know what I'd do? I'd take off running as fast as I could. And I'd run until I got to the first house, had a light. And then I'd stop running. You see, many times we're afraid in the dark. We're afraid of the shadows. We're afraid of what's going on around us. Notice what it says in Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I'll just circle that word through. Notice how I'm going to go through it. Right now, you're in a valley, and it feels like I'm stuck. It's going to last this way forever. But God says, I'm going to bring you through the valley. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Psalm 73:28. If you're not at this place in your life, I hope God will help you get to this place. As for me, God's presence is all I need. I've made the sovereign Lord my shelter. Folks, have you got to the place in your life that God's all you need? Listen, I've been at a place in my life several times when it looked like there was a potential to lose everything that I valued, to lose everything that I loved. And you want me to tell you what I found in that valley? I found out that God is enough. Whatever you're facing, God's enough. God's enough. Darren, I want you to turn on that spotlight. We'll see if it's going to work. Is it making a shadow? Hard to see the shadow with the black. Turn the lights off. Darren's running the PowerPoint. He's trying to learn the lights. Now, don't y'all go to sleep when he gets them all off. All right? Do you notice that my shadow is bigger than I am? Do you notice the only reason I have a shadow is because there's some light in my life? You see, so many times what happens is when we're in the valley, all we can see is the shadow. That's all we can see is the shadow. But did you know if we'll turn our backs to the shadow and we'll put our eyes on the light, did you know we can't see the shadow? David in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Though an army besiege me, yet I will be confident. You see, so many times in the valley, we're looking at the shadow when what we need to do is to be looking at the light. You can turn the lights back on now, Darren. Number two. Remember, God has a good plan for your valley. Romans 5:3. Not only this, but we also rejoice in sufferings. Not really, do we? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Nobody likes sufferings. Nobody likes difficulties. But do you like hope? Do you like patience? Do you like perseverance? Do you like character? Well, you got to go through the valley to get that stuff. I'm reminded of a guy by the name of Dick Couch. And here is his testimony. He said, I was a self-made man. You know, I was a self-made millionaire. He said, but I came to a point in my life when I recognized that I needed to commit my life to Christ. And he said, so I became a Christian and everything was good. He said, but there come a time in my life when I got stagnant. And so I prayed, God, take me to the next level. I wonder who would pray that today. God, take me to the next level. And he said, 6 months later, I got fired from my job. He said, and then I hurt my back and was flat on my back, couldn't get out of the bed. And he said, I remember praying, hey, God, what's up with this? And God said, oh, Dick, don't you remember? A couple of months you said you wanted to go to the next level. He said, you don't forge steel in the amusement park. You forge steel in the furnace. Are you in a valley? Maybe God's fixing to take you to the next level. Okay? Notice here what it says in Hosea 2:15. I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Now, this guy I'm going to tell you about, I'm going to slay his last name, okay? It's a Russian. And his name is Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Hard name. Y'all can tell me how to pronounce it afterwards. He's a very famous guy. That's why I can't pronounce his name. No, he is really. In 1970, he's a Russian. In 1970, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature. He is considered one of the greatest thinkers and literary giants of this century. Okay? But he was a believer in Jesus Christ. And because he was a believer in Jesus Christ, the communist government of the Soviet Union arrested him and put him in a labor camp. So here's this intellectual poet doing hard labor. And it goes on and on and on and on. And so Alexander, he says, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to take my own life. And he got to thinking about it, and he said, no, that wouldn't honor God. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll try to escape. He said, I know I can't escape, because when I try to escape, one of the guards is going to shoot me. And then I can go to heaven, and I won't have to put up with all this mess. And that was his plan. So he was out there in the yard, and he said, all right, Lord, today's today. I'm gonna make my run today. And he said, about that time, that another believer walked up in the snow. He said, we weren't allowed to talk to each other. He said, but he walked up in the snow, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, all I could see was peace. All I could see was peace in this guy's eyes. And he said, he reached down and took a stick, and he made the sign of a cross, and he walked away. And Alexander said, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said to me, Alexander, I am the God of the valley. And so at that moment, Alexander said, God, I don't know what your plan is, but I trust you. 3 days later, he was released to prison and flown to Geneva and became a world-renowned poet and writer. But what would happen if in the middle of the valley he had not believed that God was good? Number three, remember the reward will last forever. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our present troubles, that'd be valleys, wouldn't it? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they're producing in us an eternal glory that will last forever and is greater than anything we can imagine. Now, folks, I don't have a great deal of imagination, okay? But Tony Milholland does. Okay? All right, so I want you to latch a hold of that. That our present troubles right now don't compare to what Tony Milholland can even imagine that God has in store. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen. I think one of these days you're going to walk over onto the other side and you're going to be in heaven for 1 minute. And after being in heaven for 1 minute, you're going to look back at all the valleys in your life and you're going to say, God, it was worth it. See, right now, it's hard and it's difficult. But one of these days, you're going to look back and you're going to say, God, it was worth it. Greatest preacher I've ever heard preach in my lifetime was a guy by the name of Adrian Rogers. He was a prince of a preacher. He was a pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for about 30-some years. He came down with cancer. And then he got pneumonia. They put him in the hospital. And while he was in the hospital, they said, Adrian, we're going to have to put you on a ventilator. He said, that's fine. I'm at perfect peace with God. They came in there and put him on the ventilator. He didn't get better. He got worse. Steve Gaines, at the time, was his associate pastor. He said, I came in there to see Adrian and to pray with him. And he said, when I came in there and talked to him and prayed with him, he said, you know, he couldn't talk because he's on this ventilator. And he said, but when I got ready to leave, he winked at me and gave me a thumbs up. What he was saying, I'm still at perfect peace. Folks, there is peace in the valley. When Jesus Christ is the good shepherd of your soul. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. Psalm 23 starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. I want to speak to those that today that have never made Jesus Christ the good shepherd of your soul. It doesn't help you that Jesus is your mom and dad's shepherd. It doesn't help you that your grandparents, that Jesus is their shepherd. You see, He only walks with you in the valley if he's your shepherd. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus left heaven, died on a cross, rose again, and he wants to be the shepherd of your soul. If you've never asked him to come into your heart and your life, would you step out when we have our invitation and come up here and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Many of you have already done that. But you're here today and you're in a valley. And you might be in a valley where you're stuck. You're in a valley where you're running from something. You're embarrassed. You slipped. You failed. God says, I am with you. Some of you are in a valley and you're facing some giants. And there's fear. And God's saying to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Trust me. Trust me. Some of you are in the valley of weeping. You're here today with a broken heart. And Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, can heal a broken heart. Some of you are in a dry, barren place. God's saying, trust me. Trust me. Would you come today and say, God, you're enough. God, you're all I need. You're enough. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of commitment and decision, I'm reminded of the place in Scripture called the Valley of Decision. Help us, God, to make the right decision right now. The decision, God, to trust you. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you would please stand as we sing. We